Good morning. Greet each one in Jesus' precious name this morning. Did you think about that song? Follow the path? Are you discerning the path of Jesus in your life? And then it says, cling to the hand of Jesus. Are you walking with him? And then it says, take up the cross of Jesus. I think about some of these old songs we sing again and again, the words, it's easy just to sing through it and be thinking off about something somewhere else. But again, just to have that focus, I've appreciated the emphasis of the service this morning, thinking about God, his work in the world, and where do I fit into that? Where are you this morning, fitting into God's plan? Bring you greetings from Pensacola. Glad for the opportunity to be here for Bible school. I trust that you all have been praying for that work, and keep praying, and maybe pray harder than ever now that it's about to start. We want God to be honored and glorified and lives to be strengthened in his kingdom. For a sermon this morning, my title is New Life in the New Year. New Life in the New Year. And I had to think about a year draws to a close and a new year dawns before us. And we take time, I think it's proper to take time to reflect. What has happened? Where am I headed? Where am I in life? Because the choices I made last year are going to affect me next year. And one year turns into the next, and all of a sudden we realize that my life is flying past me. And the choices I made that seem so insignificant are actually adding up and becoming very significant on my trajectory through life and where I'm going to end up and spend eternity. So the purpose of the sermon this morning is to increase my appreciation for Christ and motivate me to choose to serve him daily in 2022. Want to be inspired to serve Christ each and every day he gives us in the coming year. And we just came through Christmas, and we think about, I hope you took time to think about, the message of God coming to earth. Incredible story of love and compassion. Jesus showing up. He's the Word of God, the manifestation of God on earth. He was in the beginning with God, and he shows up and reveals himself, not just as an abstract, disconnected being, but in here, in person, in the flesh, flesh and blood, for the purpose of redemption. For the purpose of new life, for his creation, for humanity. Let's turn to John 17 as a springboard here, thinking about Jesus showing up, and you would think his life should have been easy, right? As God, that's what we're not even God, and we think our life should be easy. We think things should just flow from one thing to the next and life should be good. And if it's not, then I'm going to make sure everybody knows about it. Grumble and complain. And I'm just challenged by this John 17 right here. Jesus revealing the depth of his struggle and yet his commitment in the struggle of life. And I guess I want to just call us to that same level of commitment to God and to his will and to the plan he has for our lives. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. With the glory which I had with thee before the world was, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And so we see Jesus' complete surrender, Jesus' complete desire to do the work of God. And seeking that God would be glorified with his life, that he understood the plan, the difficulty. And we know as he went through the middle of that cross experience, the pain, the suffering, the humiliation, he endured. And yet he did not turn from it. He did not run from it. He accepted it. Because he understood that as he faithfully endured through that, there was more to come. It wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't where the picture stopped. And that's where I believe you and I can get disconnected. We're sometimes tempted to believe that the story stops somewhere in the middle of our lives and that it's the end. And that's not true. That's a lie. I believe that Satan would want us to believe that the story does not end somewhere in our life unless we give up. But the story goes forward into eternity, and we see Christ had a clear picture of that as he was here on this earth. And so let's turn over to Galatians 2:20. I would call this my text verse. Paul picks up this theme. Galatians 2:20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so a clear picture that even though we at conversion, we die to living for ourselves. We say, I am no longer going to decide the course of my life. Instead, I'm going to lay down my rights, my choices, and instead I'm going to look to the Word of God, to the example of Christ, and I am going to endeavor to live that out each day. God gives me life. So, that brings me to my first point in the sermon. The choices I make today determine my eternal destiny. And so we think about, did the choices you actually made when you were 5 years old affect you when you're 15 or when you're 30? They actually do. Things that you decided in your childhood, you wind up, as you come to know God, you have to decide. I know there was things that I did in my childhood that I had to repent of as I came to understand my need of a Savior, and probably not at 5 years old, not trying to give that perspective, and yet it was, as we have things of, you know, lying, stealing, cheating. God, as I gave my life to him as I went forward in my Christian life, God said, you know what? This thing back here, I really want you to manifest that, talk to your parents about it, and make that right, or at least open yourself, open your life up before others. And at that point, I had to make that choice of, was I going to go back and open my life up and be clear and open before God? And by being clear and open before God, I had to be clear and open before my earthly authority. That's how it works. It's directly connected. I can't be clear and open before God and somehow keep everything hidden from everybody else on earth. That's sometimes an idea that we'd like to think is possible. And it's not, because that is all intertwined in God's plan of the things that are seen and the things that are not seen. So back to this point, the choices I make today determine my eternal destiny. I just came up with a little diagram of our lives and thinking about that. So we're living life, and we all have a starting point where we are created by God, and we come into this world at birth, and our lives continue through life on into eternity, which is forever. And as we live this life, we develop, and I don't know at what age we start having thoughts, but it's pretty young. We start actually thinking things, and it may not be clear at first, but we know, I don't know, probably even before a year old, there's clear, discernible thoughts. You can recognize patterns. But we have these thoughts in our life. What is a thought? It is, I would say, a fleeting idea or notion that goes through your mind. So these ideas or notions go through your mind. And you think about, oh, it's raining outside, or the sun's shining. You know, so-and-so is here this morning. These thoughts just constantly roll through our mind. So when these thoughts go through our mind, we have a choice. As they come through our mind, we have a choice, right here, to follow Christ with our thoughts, or serve self. Because our thoughts lead us on to the next step. And I'm going to call that our meditations. And that's where we take a thought that we had. We take a thought. And we spend time entertaining that thought. We think it over. And it can be something like the weather, and we think about, wow, they're predicting storms and it's going to get cold. And we're taking that and we're actually spending time thinking about that thought. We're meditating on it. And some of those thoughts that we meditate on are not really here or there. They're not right or wrong. But then there are thoughts that we meditate on that become right and become wrong. And we have the choice. We have the individual responsibility to deal with that. And there's some verses in the Bible that talk about that. I'm going to just step back and read The first one from Proverbs, thinking about our thoughts coming forth out of our heart, out of our life, verse we're familiar with, says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." And so we see that main emphasis, a choice, the very core of our essence, to guard our heart, and out of that flows who we are. But then as we move from thoughts into meditation, 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And so we have here again this emphasis that it's a possibility for us to entertain imaginations and high things that are exalting itself against God, against who Jesus would have us to be, and that we bear the responsibility to discern that and grab a hold of it and bring it down and put it away from us, to bring it into captivity, into the obedience of Christ. And we know Psalm 19:14, the psalmist there says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so we have again and again an emphasis in the Bible dealing with our thoughts and our meditations, and that we actively deal with those. We choose right there, even before, because the next thing that happens is it turns into another decision, because out of that flows our words. The speech flows from what we've been thinking about. The words that come out of your mouth come from what you've been meditating on. And so, sometimes I want to say, well, I just slipped up. That was an accident. Actually, it wasn't an accident. It's what you were dwelling on. If words of hatred came out of your mouth, it's because I've been having that in my heart. And Luke 6:45 brings that up. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." And so here again, as the words come forth, out of our heart, we have that choice again. Words flow from meditations. And then, as we do that, as that word comes out of my mouth, either for good to follow Christ or for bad to serve self, we have again, the choice. If it was something wrong, we need to repent right there. Say, "I'm sorry. It wasn't right." And understand that I haven't been meditating. I took thoughts, wrong thoughts, and meditated on them wrongly. And out of that, the wrong words flowed out of my mouth. And I need to get back to the core, the essence, and repent of that. And turn to Christ for direction, for healing from that. Because out of that comes our actions. So we take something we've been meditating on, words that have been coming out of our mouth, and it turns into our actions. And that matters, because in Matthew 12:35, Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." We go down to Matthew 15:18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." And so this process is repeated over and over every day in our lives. And the challenge is the more we choose one way or the other way, the more of a habit, the more of stronghold it becomes in our life. So the more you choose to serve self with your thoughts and then your meditations, the more it comes back around and feeds on it. And you repeat this over and over again with your life. But the same is also true as you serve God with your life. The more it tends to point you in the direction towards God, the more you recognize and discern between the differences in this pattern in your life, and recognize our core need to choose the correct heart, surrender to God, willingly taking on the example of Christ, and out of that dealing with what we meditate on, making sure that fits under the teaching of the Word of God. And I don't have the verse written down here, but it talks about it being a light, a day star that shines brighter and brighter in your life as you take the path towards life. And so, choices I made last year affect how much light is on my Christian path this morning. And the choices I continue to make into 2022 will determine, if God gives us time till 2023, will the path be brighter or will the path be darker? And God allows us to decide that. Amazing to me what God has entrusted us with. My second point is hope and happiness is only found in surrender and service to Christ. Hope and happiness is only found in surrender and service to Christ. Think of Jesus' words there, Matthew 11:28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now confess that I believe that to be true, but as I entered into my Christian life, I wondered where this promise was, because it was great the first couple weeks. I knew I was saved. But then as I ventured on, it's like, wow, this is difficult. This is a fight. This is work. Where's the rest that Jesus promised? Don't give up if that's where you are this morning, because this promise is true. But the freedom was at a different place than what I realized. Freedom to discern and deny our own destructive passions is true freedom. Freedom to understand the thoughts, the meditations that are going to take you away from God. To be able to understand and discern that by the Holy Spirit's work in your life. That is where freedom is. And that comes through a walk with God and the Holy Spirit's conviction in your life, in my life. And that is true freedom. Being able to understand that, discern that, and to be able to deny myself of things that would destroy me for eternity. The yoke is easy. The burden is light. No, life is not easy. Denying yourself is not easy. It does not come easy from a fleshly perspective. But as we understand it from an eternal perspective, there is rest for our souls. And so we accept the yoke of Christ. And we accept his burden and sacrifice of himself to death, and his call for us to do the same. That's what life is about. So my third point is, rest is found in the righteousness of Christ. Rest is found in the righteousness of Christ. Because there's a tension here. As we live for God, we endeavor to do right things, but we find it so easy to be broken, so easy to live for ourselves. And we cannot stay there because of the great sacrifice of Christ for us. And yet, we rest in the righteousness of Christ. Here again in Galatians, going back to verse 16. Paul says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So my burden for us this morning is that we stay connected to Christ and that we rest in the righteousness of Christ to fulfill the law. And yet we remember who he is, how he's God's son, came at incredible price and sacrifice, an example for us to live and follow after. That we cannot make ourselves good enough for God, and yet that incredible purchase for us demands that we give our everything for him. That we do not become disillusioned with what this world has to offer. So many things, possessions, prestige. Go down the list of all that the world seeks to offer to us. Where do we put ourselves in relation to that and serving God? God wants our life to be a sacrifice for him. We accept Christ's sacrifice and then we walk with him in that example to the people around us. And so that brings me to the fourth point. I must crucify all desires and passions that deny Christ in my daily walk. So as I live my life and I make these choices and these things come out, I choose to sacrifice, crucify all the desires and passions that God reveals to me are not a part of my walk with Christ. Sometimes that's revealed very quickly, and sometimes we've been down the path of selfishness quite a ways, and God shows up and says, "Son, daughter, this is against me. This is not the example of Christ in your life. You need to change this. You need to deal with this. And then we have to go back and we repent of that. And we turn to God and say, God, show me. I want to walk with you. And it's not difficult, but it is difficult because we have to give of ourselves. And I think of the first and second commandment in this, under this point. Love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. And so you could break that down just a little more, that people exist to be loved and to be taught the word of God. That's why God has us all here, not to be controlled and manipulated and used for my own selfish advantage of what I can get out of having a relationship with them. And that's a complete opposite of each other. God wants us to learn. Hebrews 8 talks about that. The message of the gospel. Interesting thinking about that in the Sunday school lesson. The last part was redemption for the nations. That theme was already started way back then. And today we are in that age of redemption for all people. And that must be our heart cry, each one of us this morning, that all people everywhere exist to be shown the love of God and to understand His word and walk in it. There's a lot of people in a lot of different places that think a lot differently than I do. And it's easy to think they're wrong and I'm right. And that's not what the Bible teaches me at all. Hebrews 8, we'll break in at verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And so we have God revealing a desire to come down and dwell within us and speak His word through His Holy Spirit. And I don't understand all the dynamics of how this works, but it's real. And God wants you to listen to Him speaking in your heart and in your life. And He wants you to follow in His way every day. And this is for all people in every nation. Because there in John 7:38, he says, He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So my challenge is this morning, are the words that are flowing out of my life words of living water? Are they words of refreshment, of encouragement, of continue on in the path of life to the people around us, to our neighbors, to the people in our congregations, to our brothers and sisters? So that leads me to the fifth point. Salvation of souls must be our life mission. Salvation of souls must be our life mission. I love the vigor and example of the Apostle Paul. You just see a man that was caught by that and a burning passion. And over there in Acts, as he went on those journeys and he talked to those people and he came to the people that were worshiping an unknown God because they didn't want this unknown God to destroy them. And he showed up and he said, I am going to preach to you this God. And he faithfully expounded God wherever he went. Can you and I do that? Can we do that in 2022? Can we be a light and a witness? God didn't call you to be an Apostle Paul. But God did call you to be faithful to his principles, to his word, to love the fellow men that he's placed around you, to choose thoughts, meditations, words, and actions that glorify him, that show a love and appreciation for other people, even other people that get under your skin. God calls us to that. Because if we continue in that, my sixth point, the tree of life is given to all those who continue faithful to Christ. Have you thought about the tree of life lately? It's easy to forget about that because that was way back in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 2, verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we have a tree of life and a tree of knowledge and evil. And unto Adam he said, jumping further down, chapter 3:17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Verse 22, and the Lord said, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so we know the story, the Garden of Eden. Man ate of the tree of knowledge, and our eyes were opened to understanding that there is a God, and there is Satan, and there is right things to do, and there's wrong things to do because we partook of the tree of the knowledge. God had not given that to man. They were innocent. And today, you and I have the knowledge of good and evil, of right and wrong, that there is a good creator God, and there is a Satan aspiring to displace him. And so we're under the curse this morning. The ground is cursed. We're here in sorrow. We shudder at the thought of death. I don't like death. It's ugly. People get weak and weaker, and they're gone, and they lose all their dignity. We had three deaths in our congregation last year. And so, the tree of life means more to me. God has made a tree of life that he wants each one of us here to partake of. He said, I'm not going to let you partake of the tree of life as long as you are in a cursed place. And I thank God for that. God didn't put us here to stay here. Because of his mercy, because of his love for his creation. Turn over to Revelation 22. This comes back up. God does not let us in the dark. God is not going to withhold the tree of life from us. He wants to give it to us, but he wants us to experience it in his presence, where is all goodness and no curse. Revelation 22, verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Drop down to verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. What a beautiful opportunity is given to each one of us. And it comes back to our choices today. What we do today, what we do tomorrow, what we do next week, next month, next year, as long as God gives us life. God wants us to choose life, that we can partake of the tree of life. And I don't understand, what does that mean? How does the tree bear 12 manner of fruits? And how are the leaves for the healing of the nations? But I want to be there. I want to see what that means. I want to understand what that means someday. Because we serve such a good God, such a great God. He has given us all that pertains unto life and godliness. And if you were taking notes this morning, if you look back over, if you got all the points, you'll see that it's an acrostic, which is Christ. The first letter of each point is Christ. Christ wants to be woven in our life. He wants to be there every day. And as we go through our lives, as we make the small choices each day, they add up to be the big choice that will determine our eternal place, our destiny.